Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, here you have it. The Great Commission of Matthew before it germinates. Here we witness it. The workers prayed for of our church, by our church, gathered to be sent out as missionaries in the church before actually entering those planes, trains, and jets. Wednesday, we'll witness it further. 75 years on this campus, the Antioch of the New World, anticipating countless more years of sending, of going out, of proclaiming, of preaching, and healing. And now we discover today is the day set out in our new hymnal to commemorate the Apostle Barnabas. I wonder how Barnabas would have felt about such a thing. As apostle long ago, no doubt Barnabas felt deeply from the bowels, if you will, that sympathy that is expressed in the passive voice for Jesus, Esplag Nidsthe, for the weary and for the distressed. But his name is not embedded upon glass plates in the sanctuary, nor are verses ascribed to him in the great hymn by all the saints in warfare. In fact, Barnabas is and plays and remains in the lineup as a second string player. In the fog of Christian warfare, he is amidst a regiment folk, but we do know some things about him. Tertullian and later Jerome attest that he is the author to the book of Hebrews. He's a Palestinian Levite from Cyprus, known throughout the diaspora. His name means son of encouragement, and he had given a great deal of his property away for the sake of the gospel. He was a companion for Paul. He was an apologist for Paul as he began his missionary work in the field, and he broke ranks with Paul in a second missionary journey before rebuilding affections and contact in subsequent work in the Father's kingdom. That sums up the Apostle Barnabas. But not his training, reflected in the manual for training, the Gospel of Matthew that we read today. And so we return to Matthew chapter 10 and to our text. Here we have the Great Commission to the Jews. Do not go to the Gentiles, nor by the way of the Samaritans, the Hodos, the way, as you will become known in years to come. Go with this message. The kingdom of God is near. Freely you have received, freely give. And take with you, I think Jesus says, the lessons that you've learned from my gospel. Don't forget my first sermon to you in Matthew chapter 5. Oh, in a nutshell, it sounds like this. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll not enter the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 5 and following goes further. Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I would say the theme for the whole Sermon on the Mount are these words: reflect on your alien righteousness, freely given to you, and freely give it to others. A righteousness in Jesus that exceeds and perfects. And so this Barnabas, trained in light of Matthew and called apostle in the New Testament, would have understood those words at the front and source of that great sermon. Blessed are the peacemaker, blessed are the poor, blessed are those that suffer and thirst for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you if you suffer for righteousness' sake and you're persecuted like the fathers before. And you see reflected in those beatitudes your Lord and your Savior and Jesus Christ and his alien righteousness and your Lord and your God whom you serve. And he's reminded, therefore, further in Matthew 10, take no gold or silver or copper or belt or staff or second shirt. Distribute peace that you've received from Christ in households. And speak judgment of the coming day of the Lord. But what did Jesus do with such second string players? How did he prepare the soil for his mission field as they went out and said, the kingdom of God is near. Matthew is a manual about discipleship. The Great Commission found at its conclusion is not without some beginning. It is not found without every word and teaching that Jesus wanted to pass on within its boundaries. Matthew is a whole. The titles for Jesus in turn lead to a vigorous life of prayer. The lectionary and sermon series contained within its walls are given by Jesus himself and dedicated to missionary zeal. The corporate worship that Jesus gave to the ancient church within its walls is the ancient Morse code of the church with the Kyrie, the Lord's Prayer, to the Hosannas, to the Son of David, and the Verba and more. And it contains the geographic mission direction marshaled by Jesus himself. In this context, Matthew 10 prepares for Jesus' arrival in our midst. So we turn the pages to chapter 11 and 12, and what do we uncover in the Jewish community which has seen the apostles and the second string players? We see a first-rate director, marshal, savior, the man of rest come. The man of rest in chapter 11. In the Father's kingdom, Jesus turns the soil and the Holy Spirit plants life anew. And so the Great Commission for the Jews in chapter 10 is followed by Jesus, who's Lord of the Sabbath, and someone who's greater than the temple is here. We find out also that no sign will be given to us except that Old Testament sign of Jonah and the resurrection from the dead. Matthew's mission, as you see, is an integrated whole which does not allow the Gentile mission to go unfettered with makeshift formulas and expressions. Barnabas knew it and was glad to be among the unsung heroes of faith who went out with the gospel of the Lord, ordered by the confessions of faith, ordered around such a center as justification by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, with creed and water and blood, he is sent into the world. And so we do include Barnabas with the general saints and martyrs with these words. Apostles, prophets, martyrs, in all the noble throng who wear the spotless raiment and raise the ceaseless song. For these, passed on before us, we offer praises due and walk in their footsteps, would live our lives to you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.